What is hair?
Well, hair is a protein, so it's manufactured by hair follicles, and it's almost made out of pure protein. And as the cells divide, the protein is excreted into the cell, and they unite to form these strong fibres with very, very strong fibres. And even after we're long gone, the hair will often remain for hundreds or even thousands of years afterwards.
Is it actually true that hair continues to grow after you die?
No. No, what happens is as the skin retracts, it gives the illusion of growing up to about another 2 or 3 millimetres. But the hair itself continues to grow. So hair is very much dependent on living cells dividing.
Now, what is the difference between hair and fur?
Nothing.
It's the name alone.
When fur occurs on a human, we call it hair. When hair grows on a sheep, we call it wool. When hair grows on another mammal, we call it our fur.
Okay, so that's pure semantics on our part. There's no real difference between those things.
No, and in fact, the chemical structure is very similar to all situations.
What is the evolutionary purpose of hair? Why have we got it in the first place?
Well, it's been vital to the survival of mammals. So hair evolved with mammals about 280 million years ago when the mammals split off from the birds and the reptiles. And hair is involved both regulating your temperature through the different seasons and the cycles, and it's also involved in camouflage. And so the ability for the hair to change with the seasons and to adapt to different climates and to provide camouflage has been absolutely essential for the survival of all mammals. Now, in humans, we have about 2 million hair follicles on our body, of which only about 100,000 are on the scalp. So the hair that most people think about in the human is the scalp hair. And in fact, that is harder to understand. It seems to be purely for ornamentation. But the other, 1.9 million hair follicles on our body are also very important for the integrity of our skin, because in the hair follicles, that's where we hide our skin stem cells. So if you graze your knee and you've got to recover your knee with new skin, and that skin will come from the hair follicles. And it actually makes quite good sense to bury your stem cells a bit deeper in the skin where they're a little bit less susceptible to being rubbed off when you graze your knee.
Although, Professor Sinclair, if that's the case, why are some races so much hairier than others? Why have some of us got positive pelts?
So I didn't catch that. What was that?
Why are some of us so much hairier than others of us? And some races in particular, some peoples are far hairier than others.
Well, hair is one of the important physical attributes of all the different types of human. So red hair, for example, is unique to certain people of Celtic origin and Scandinavian origin. With the Asian skin goes the dark hair, and the hair's actually got a very unusual cross-section in that Asia is circular cross-section, whereas Caucasian hair is oval in cross-section, and African hair is really thin, strip-like, almost ribbon-like. And so African hair is much more fragile. It's also much curlier. But these characteristics in the hair are tightly controlled, and they segregate, and they're a very important part of the different skin types that occur with different ethnic populations on the planet.
Although there's also a diversity of texture within any racial group, and I've got incredibly coarse hair. My wool grower husband often describes me as a Border Leicester and not a fine wool merino. Why is there such a diversity in textures from very soft, fine hair to really coarse, strong, thick hair?
Well, that happens in many species, and what they've actually done in the wool industry is they've done selective breeding looking for very fine, thin hair. And the reason for that is with wool, the thing that determines the prickliness of wool on the skin when we wear it as our jumpers is the fibre diameter. So the coarser the fibre, the more prickly it feels on our skin. So what they now do is they use those coarse fibres, those sheep for carpets, and the very fine merino fibres they use for the high-quality clothing. And so with the sheep breeders, what they do is they very carefully control which rams they allow into their paddocks, and they select them very carefully to try and get their fibre diameter down.
What I wanted to ask you before we lost you was why hair loses its colour and whether it's possible to literally go grey overnight.
Yes, hair loses its colour. Well, I suppose the first point is how does hair get its colour? And so hair gets its colour by pigment cells or melanocytes right in the hair bulb. that produce pigment, and they pass that pigment across into the hair cells as they grow. Now, what happens as you get old is these pigment cells basically curl up their toes and die, and they start to disappear. And so what happens is the hairs then continue to be produced, but they have no pigment being inserted into them at their bulb. Now, if ever you've plucked a hair, you realise that the bulb of the hair is actually white. So the pigment doesn't get produced until about a millimetre above the base of the hair. So the very bottom part of the hair follicle's got no pigment. And then as you get older and grey, and the pigment cells stop producing, the hairs just become white. And when they first stop producing, sometimes they turn on and off again. And you'll sometimes see a stripe in a grey hair. So there'll be a stripe of grey, then a stripe of dark, and then a stripe of grey, and then it peters out, and then it never manufactures pigment again. And they say that about 50% of the population have about 50% of their hairs grey by the age of 50. So it is something that's almost universal.
But is it actually possible for the colour to change instantly? Could that happen?
Well, that's it. This greying overnight is actually a different disorder. That's due to a condition called alopecia areata. And that's an autoimmune condition where the body's immune system suddenly attacks the hairs and causes them to snap off and disappear. Now, if you're one of these people who are 50 with 50% of their hairs dark and 50% of their hairs grey, what happens in alopecia areata is it preferentially attacks the dark hairs. So 50% of your hair falls out, which is all the dark hairs, leaving behind the 50% that are grey. Now, anyone who's got partly grey hair realises that their colour changes quite a lot with a haircut. So when you're half grey and you trim your hair, the grey becomes more noticeable. So just having 50% of your hair is dark makes it look like all your hair is dark. And then when they suddenly fall out overnight, it looks like you've gone grey overnight. And so there are very good reports of this happening, and it was said to happen to Marie Antoinette before she went to the guillotine, because occasionally with alopecia areata can be triggered by a major stressful event. And so it's thought that she developed alopecia areata on the eve of her beheading, and that manifests by attacking the dark hairs, and she went from 50% dark, 50% grey to 100% grey because the dark ones all fell out.
Why does hair actually fall out, Rod Sinclair?
Why does it fall out? Well, it falls out normally when it gets to the end of its growth cycle. So normally hairs don't grow forever and ever. So hairs all over the body grow at a rate of about a centimetre a month. And the thing that determines how long it gets to on our scalp, on our eyebrows, on our armpits, is the duration of the growth phase. So on the scalp, it'll grow for about 3 years and get to about 36 centimetres. On the eyebrows, it'll grow for about 2 months and it'll get to about 2 centimetres. And in the armpits, it'll grow for about 9 months and get to about 9 centimetres. And so anyone who's shaved under their arms will know that the hair's always growing, but if you don't shave, they don't grow forever and ever, which is quite good. That's why we don't have to worry about concealing our underarm hairs poking out the bottom of our sleeves, because they grow only for a certain period of time and then fall out.
What a very charming thought, Rod Sinclair. We are up against the news headlines, but is there any actual way to reverse the process of hair falling out, of people going bald, or is that an inevitable progression?
No, there is. In fact, we've now got some very good treatments. The first treatment that was licensed by the TGA was back in about the 1970s, which was minoxidil lotion, which is an over-counter thing that you can just buy from the pharmacist without a prescription. In about 1999, the second TGA-approved treatment was produced for male pattern hair loss, and we've also got some treatments for hair loss when it occurs in women, because women also go bald with advancing age as well. And so we've actually got very good treatments available. Some are on prescription, some are over-the-counter, and it's just a matter of talking to your doctor about working out which one's going to work best for your type of hair loss.
And very quick question from Erica, who says, I like the water ape theory that our ancient ancestors migrated by wading along coastlines and streams, which is a possible reason for lack of body hair. That's a new one to me.
Well, there's lots of theories on it, and there's actually books written on the so-called naked ape and how, as humans, we lost our body hair and retained our scalp hair. All of them are plausible, but none of them are proven. So there's lots of hypotheses as to why it might have happened, but no one actually knows the real answer.
Rod Sinclair, terrific to talk to you, albeit with some interruptions, but thank you very much indeed for your time today.
And thank you for persisting despite the interruptions.
Okay, thanks, Rod. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Professor Rod Sinclair, who's a dermatologist with a bit of a passion for hair, with some theorising on the evolutionary purpose and meaning of hair, and no distinction whatsoever between hair and fur and wool. They're just the names that we give to it.